The title of my message tonight is Watch Out for the Imposters. Now, a couple weeks ago, last time we were together, we were talking out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we're talking about how Paul is talking to the Roman church, and he's saying, hey, guys, look here, I need you not to conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is still, we're still integrated into our series, Are You the Real Deal or a Counterfeit? Or are you a real deal or a knockoff? And that's very crucial that we understand and that we are the real deal. The real deal, when it's all said and done, you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. A counterfeit or a knockoff, you'll hear, depart from me, thou doer of iniquity, I never knew you. And so we're talking about, as Paul is urging the body of Christ, guys, come on, don't conform to the things of this world. And it's nothing new. Conforming to the world is nothing new. I can go all the way back to the Old Testament. When Samuel was walking around and God said, Samuel's telling God, hey, the people want a king. The king, the children of Israel are like, we want a king. We want a king. Samuel's like, no, you don't. God's like, no, you don't. What the Israelites were saying is, we're looking at everybody else and we want to be like them. They got kings. We want to be like them. And that's what the church is saying. Because Paul's saying, do not conform, but the church is conforming because we want to look like the world. And we use that false rhetoric. We're just trying to, we want to look like the world so we can attract the world. Hey, Asher, you come sit over here. But this is what we need to understand. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, the renewing of our mind. Transformation, we're transitioning to a place of transformation. And what is the transformation that we want? That our words, that our conduct, it would be not our will, but your will. You see, Paul was only merely calling believers, he was not just merely calling believers to say no. He wasn't just saying no to the things of this age, but he was saying, guys, you got to die to yourself. You have to kill that old man. You have to say no to your will. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is give up your will. We like to think we can give up our will, but if you can't even give up your own will to your spouse, how much more should we give up our will to God? We fight with our spouse. Tiff tells me stuff all the time. Hey, Josh, I need you to do that. I don't want to do that. My will said, no, I don't want to do that. Sometimes, you know, our will wants to go watch TV. God said, I need you to come spend some time with me. Nah, I want to go watch Netflix. I need you to fast. Oh, come on, God. My will says it's July 4th. This is when I get to barbecue. Get some carne on the grill. Get some steak. God's like, no, I'm calling you to be with me, to fast. We put our will ahead of God all the time. And Paul said, hey, come on, guys, that's got to stop. We are supposed to be emulating Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, you have the Lord's Prayer. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy, you guys can talk, it's okay. Thy will be done. Making sure y'all knew that. We used to say that before basketball when I played in school. So if the heathen said that, I know y'all got to know that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is Jesus. He was there during creation, and he's here on earth, and he's like, Lord, not my will, but your will. He's showing us that it can be done. The Greek word for will is thelema, T-H-E-L-E-M-A. It means will, desire, wish, or purpose. It specifically refers to what one wishes or has determined shall be done. Now, in Hebrew, the word will, there's a few different words, but most commonly, it's razon, which means will, desire, pleasure, favor. Now, there's a root word in that word, and I'll show you right here just so you think I'm only going to do this on this one word. But there's your Hebrew word, razon. You have resh, tesad, tesed, and hey. Now remember, they read different. So we have resh, tesed, hey. It means his desire is to reveal himself to you. This represents acceptance, favor, or being pleased. So God's desire is to reveal himself to you. Now, if I wanted to go a little bit deeper, I was looking, okay, he wants to reveal. Lord, what does reveal mean? Well, the Hebrew root for that, it's gemel, lamed, hey, which means to uncover, expose, reveal, or remove a covering. In other words, to reveal his authority and benefits. We have so many people that are, what's my will? God, what's your will for me? What's God's will? There you go. You don't have to go buy any more books. His will, his desire, his pleasure is to reveal himself to you and to reveal his authority and benefits. That's it. Very simple. You don't have to go spend any more money on books, on courses, 10 ways to find your will. Find the will of God. Go on YouTube. How to find the will of God. There, I just saved you some time. It's very simple. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, in the church, we get stuff mixed up. We get will and purpose. What's my purpose? What's my this? What's my... Look, here's the deal, guys. God's will, his pleasure, is to reveal himself to you, to reveal his authority and benefits. So as you seek ye first the kingdom of God and you tap into his will, then everything is added unto you. In other words, you tap into his will, he'll show you your purpose. Is it that simple, Josh? Yeah, it's really that simple. Hey, Josh, how do I figure out, how do I get a spouse that, seek ye first. Well, how do I get a new job? Seek ye first. Well, how do I train my children? Seek ye first. Well, I need healing in my body? Seek ye first. I need more money with my job? Seek ye first. It's really that simple. But nobody wants to do that. They want to take the shortcut. So Paul is urging us to undergo an inner transformation that reshapes our thoughts, emotions, and lifestyle. In other words, as we reshape our thoughts, our emotions, our lifestyle, we are now walking in alignment with God's will. God wants us to be genuine. He wants us to be the real deal because he has standards that he lives by. It is imperative that we be, and I haven't even got to our text yet. This is just the intro. Oh, we're not going to finish today. I got to tell you that. We're not going to get close. We're going to walk this through. But God is wanting his people to be genuine, to be the real deal. Because here's what's going on. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of counterfeits and there's going to be a lot of phonies. And we need to have the discernment so we don't get caught up in the poison. You're going to get a lot of folks that come around and say one thing, but they act a different way. They're going to act like, oh, yeah, I live by the word of God, but their fruit says otherwise. And so God is calling us to live by a standard, his standard. And what is his standard? His standard is holiness. Now, I'm not going to get deep into holiness per se tonight. I'll get to that. I have my notes on. I want to get into it, but I can't do it right this moment. But what I can say is God is wanting us to live a holy life. There needs to be a separation between us and the world. In other words, as children of God, we must be living in holiness. We must be living in a standard or in align with the God standard. Meaning, we can't just live any old way we want to live. We want to. We want to live the way we want to live. We want to gratify the flesh. We want to stick our finger out the car when that car cuts you off because this is San Antonio and we have horrible traffic and bad drivers. We want to look at that girl at the beach. We want to look at that man, that firefighter. We want to say what we want to say. We want to do, but God's saying, guys, I'm calling you to a standard. That's why Paul's saying, guys, we can't conform to this world because God has a standard that we must live by. And we must be a people of holiness. And nobody wants to talk on holiness, or at least not in the church. We want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to live holy for God on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, we want to live like the world. So people of God, I'm impressing. What does this have to do with the real deal? It has everything to do with being the real deal. To being genuine. So we hear, good job. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You know, thank God that I thank God that I'm in a place now that God has brought men of God into my life and has spoken into my life, and I'm able to stand back and see all the phonies, all the counterfeits, all the impersonators. Now, it's just not like a couple of them. It's not a couple of them. And that's what tripped me out. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of those jokers, and they're poisoning the church. And that's why we're going slow through this. Why are we talking about the real deal and counterfeit? Because I got to go through this because we're taking the anti-venom. This is what we're going through. We have to go from the starting place, and we have to go through step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, because we got to take the antidote, because most of us in here have been in church all of our lives, and we've been poisoned. What are you talking about, Josh? You say we've been poisoned? We take scripture out of context because we don't go deep enough. We don't understand words. We have too many people eisegesis in Scripture. In other words, this is what I have to say about this. And so what we're doing is we're going line upon line. We're going slow so we can take the God's word, which is the anti-venom, to get us out of this poison mindset so we can be who God's called us to be. Real deal and genuine. So now I can get into my text. The title of my message, as I said, is Watch Out for Those Imposters. You know, it was actually funny. I was, back in, 2020, there's a game that came out that called Among Us. Oh, God, Asher's attention. And my kids would play it and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, whatever. So over the past couple months, I started dabbling into this Among Us. All right, let's see what this game is. And I found out that it's actually kind of a fun little game. And the premise of the game is that you have 15 crewmates, and out of those 15 crewmates, you have 3 imposters. Now, as a crewmate, your job is to do tasks around your spaceship, whether fix this, fix that. And while you're fixing it, you need to find the imposter. But there's 3 imposters. Their job is to sabotage and just kill you. You have one imposter that his power up, whatever it is, he can shapeshift and look like you. And so I'll be playing and I'm standing there and I'll see that the imposter shapeshift. I'm like, uh-oh, and I'm running for my life. Other times I've been standing there doing my little task, doing something, and next thing I get knifed in the back. Who just stabbed me? Blue was standing right next to me, and I just got shacked. And so as I'm playing the game, the Lord was like, Josh, because here's the deal, guys. God's always speaking. You just got to shut up long enough to hear him. I saw a movie last night with Tiffany and Dakota, and we saw F1. Great movie. Oh, man, I'm not a race car guy, but, man, that was a good movie. Good story, good everything. I mean, great stuff. Spoke to me. There's some words in there. I was like, oh, man. This God's speaking to me through this movie. So anyway, so God can speak. So I'm playing this game, and the Lord's like, we start talking, and he starts talking to me how this is like the church. There's a bunch of crewmates, bunch of just folk who just, I want to know more about God, just trying to do their thing, and you have imposters that are stealing, killing, and destroying you. You're trying to get to the by and by. You're trying to, I'm just trying to get with the Lord. And you have imposters that are around every single corner sabotaging who you are. Well, Josh, how do they sabotage? They don't teach this fully. Oh, no, it's okay. We live under grace. You can do whatever you want. Oh, you don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're gonna build this case a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. It says, "For such men are counterfeit apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So that is no great surprise if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds." That's from the Amplified. Let me read in the King James. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Transform. We see that word transform, transforming. Now, don't get it twisted. This isn't transform metamorpho that we talked about in Romans chapter 12. That transformation talks about transformation that starts on the inside, God working on the inside, and it starts to expand and grow outwardly. This, and this is why there's imposters. Because you need to know what transform means. The Greek word for this transform, transformation, I practiced it all week. Metaschizmatizo. There we go, that's how you say it. Metaschizmatizo. Yeah, actually Shiloh can say it better than me. It's Metaschizmatizo. Meta means after or change. Schisma means form or outward appearance. In other words, this means to change the outward form or appearance, to disguise or to transform. So what Paul is saying is that Satan disguises himself to appear as something good, using deception to mislead people, but not truly changed in nature. The nature of him doesn't change, it's only the appearance. Did you guys get that? It's a transformation that only takes place on the outside. Brothers, you're at the beach, or you're at in high school, in my former life before I met Tiffany. Before I met Tiffany. The angels of light would show up. I'd be at school, and this nice-looking honey would walk down the halls. We had some cute girls at, oh, man. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they were bat nuts crazy. They were looser than my left shoe. The outside looked good, but the inside was trash. There might be a gentleman. Ladies are, oh man, that man looks good. Ooh, he look like Denzel. You know Denzel, yeah, snowflake. He might look good on the outside, but on the inside, he'll beat you like a dog. On the inside, he's out hoeing around. Sorry, I'm using strong language today. Because that's what's going on. You got pastors who sit behind this sacred pulpit. They look fancy. They got the gaiters on. They got the suit on. But then behind closed doors, man, they're cussing like a sailor. They're chasing after tail. Oh, Josh, that. No. I remember my dad telling me when he was a pastor, or he was an elder at a church here in town. And they, the elders and stuff, would they would go out and do, you know, ministry trips and stuff. They would go to preach. And he said, it was crazy, Josh. And we get back to the hotel and the groupies would show up. Come on, people. These are men of God thinking that they are the Rolling Stones. They're imposters. People that you watched on TV. It looks like they have it all. But again, it's that meta. It's they transform. Meta skis metizo. It's an outward appearance. For such false apostles, deceitful workers, transform themselves into workers of light. I'm talking about watch out for those imposters. And you know what's sad? Some of you have imposters right next to you. Some of you might even be an imposter. Everybody's looking, everybody. Guys, beloved, I don't want you to be in that category. The Bible says the Bible talks about that they have a form of godliness, but the power, the anointing, doesn't line up. They're an imposter. And the church is being poisoned left and right, hook, line, and sinker. And I'm here to tell you, church, that it's time that we start to realize, hey, they're the real deal. They're the imposter. And it's, this isn't, I'm not preaching this just so we can look at others so we can judge. Man, go for it. But it's for us to examine ourselves. Am I an imposter? Am I genuine? Am I the real deal? Am I walking in God's precepts? That's a scary thing. You know, where he says, when Jesus says, not all will come, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out? Did we not prophesy? Did we not speak in new tongues? That wasn't the world. That was believers, so-called believers. That's going to be a sad day. How shocking would that look? You get to the gates, you're like, ha, 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 I'm ready. Oh, I've been waiting. Oh, finally, paradise. Oh, man. Hey, hey, hey. I've never been to a club. I remember going to Vegas when I was 17. So I know the role of a bouncer. And walking down the strip in Fairmont, I remember walking down stuff, and I remember the big, big dudes. Hey, I know, sir. Grabbing people. Hey, you ain't here. Throwing people out the clubs. And so you have these people like, hey, I'm on the guest list. I'm ready. Hey, I'm right there. And Jesus is going to look down and say, depart from me, thou doer of iniquity. But Jesus, we prophesied. Whoa, you prophesied. You did, not me. But we healed. You healed, not me. You did your own will. Sorry, it's a little tense today. If I look at me with big old saucer eyes. It's intense because I want you guys to grasp this. Because it's not a joke. I'm responsible for y'all. And it's a slippery slope to get onto the side of the imposter. We think we're doing right. Heck, I've been thinking, hey, I've done this all my life. Pastor Dale said, hey, Josh, you were wrong. That's a hard truth. But thank you, Jesus, that there's men of God that say, hey, hold up. You're going the wrong direction. That's not the way God does. Jeremiah says that God said, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. We all misquote that. I get that. What he's saying is, what y'all are doing, that's not how I do things. How you do church, that's not how I do things. How you conduct yourself, that's not how I conduct. That's not my ways. And so I'm trying to impress, as Paul would say, and as we said a couple weeks ago, urge with compassion, with fire, to say, hey, guys, we got to get this right. I would hate for any of you to get there. Woo, it's been a long road. I'm finally here. Man, we did healing revivals. Oh, man, we did prayer walks. Man, I stood on San Pedro with the End Abortion Now. I did this, that. Oh, I'm ready to rest. I finally get to retire. And Jesus has to look you in the eye. And I bet you it breaks his heart because he created you. And he has to look. Now, I'm not even going to get to creation, why God created you. Oh, you don't even know that you're a divine choice. You're a divine choice, and he looks at you. Sorry, depart from me, thou doer of iniquity. And then the bouncers have to come and take you out. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're my kids. I hope my kids are listening. Now, I'm not even getting to my message yet. I hope my kids are listening. You can't get to heaven. That's how a club is. You can't go to Sam's Club. Hey, I know Pastor Josh. Who the heck is he? He's my pastor. I don't care. You got a membership? No? Get to stepping. My kids can't be like, but Jesus, my dad was the pastor. So? What did you do? Did you choose to follow me? He chose to follow me. Why about you? So my kids, they probably hear it at the house too. As your father, I'm telling you, you can't get in on my coattails. You can't say, hey, here's my Gaines membership. I'm a Gaines. That's my dad. I'm with him. Hey. I'm sorry. Hey, can you move the ropes? I'm with him. Depart from me, thou doer of iniquity. Is it that serious, Josh? Yeah, it's that serious. We have to go and take the anti-venom. God's word is the anti-venom because we've been poisoned with lies all throughout our life. All right, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 5. This is our text for today. For these next few moments, and then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We'll start there. Excuse me. I'll read out the King James first, and then we'll go into the Amplified. This is Paul talking to Timothy. And he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For some men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce despisers. Incontent, fierce, despisers of those what is good, or those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Let me read that last part again. I hope everybody gets this. Everybody wants to... But this pastor's doing this. This was doing this. Are they saying? And I just want to be like, look, this is what the Bible says. From such turn away. What else do you want me to tell you? You don't need to. Well, let me turn from. Hey, man, I ain't got nothing to do with you. Woo, walk the other way. It's that simple. In the Amplified, it says it this way. It's going to expound a little bit. But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of their self, narcissistic and self-focused. Lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant. Relvers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane, and they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, callous and inhumane, irreconcilable, malice gossips, devoid of self-control, immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasures rather than lovers of God, holding a form of outward godliness religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim to faith. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. You don't get any clearer than that. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. Do I need to have a PowerPoint for that? Avoid such people and keep far away from them. But because we like to do our own will, but I like the worship. Like a moth to a light. But I like that the church has a coffee bar. That's your will. God can care less about your coffee bar. He cares about your soul. So Paul is telling Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come, because there are going to be all these things, and we're going to go through that. We're going to break every single word down. I wasn't planning on it, but as I was doing this today, I heard terms and conditions. Anybody know what terms and conditions are? When you do a contract, there's terms and conditions. You see, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that's a contract. Now we have the New Covenant and a new contract. And there's terms and conditions. God says you want to have a long life, you do X, Y, and Z. You want to be prosperous, you do X, Y, and Z. Now, God never reneges on his contract. He's always faithful. We're the one that usually in default in contract. You know why? Because we do the same thing in the physical realm. When's the last time you read your terms and conditions with Facebook? Nobody reads a fine print. I was in the hospital a couple weeks ago, getting the first, they're trying to get the kidney stone out. Hey, we need you to sign these forms. You don't have to raise your hand. Who reads all that stuff? Besides my wife. You don't count. But you know, if you read the fine letters, the fine print, hey, if we screw up and kill you on the operating table, you can't sue us. We don't read that. And then when something bad happens, we want to, I'm taking you to court. Sorry, you have no case. You see here, terms and conditions. You didn't read the fine print. You didn't know what you were reading. This right here, the Word of God, terms and conditions. We read, I think Laura said this on Thursday. I've read it, but I never, somebody, it was either Laura or somebody else. I know who it was. It wasn't Laura. Yeah, it was somebody else. I know exactly who it was now. I've read that scripture all my life, and that's what it means? Yeah, because you don't read it. We read it. And guess what? I'm not fussing at anybody because I do the same thing. I'll be talking with Pastor Darrell. I'll start, hey, Josh, I need you to read this. I'll start reading. Hey, slow down. Because I'm like, blah, slow down. You're reading. You're not understanding. Yes, sir. All right, I'll go back and I'll read it. There's a colon there. There's an exclamation. There's a comma. And I'm just reading because that's what we do, right? We're told, hey, you got to have a daily devotional. So what do? Okay, all right, one verse. Let's see. This is what most people do. Okay, what is today's date? It's the 12th. All right, open the middle. Proverbs 12, because it's the 12th day. I'm going to read one chapter. It takes 5 minutes to read. Woo! Oh, I feel the goosebumps all over me. The spirit's all over me. Thank you, Jesus. And we walk out the house. I'm going to have some fun. Oh! Hallelujah! Oh! And you think you did something. But if you read it, the Lord is saying, hey, these are terms and conditions. You got to read the fine print. You got to understand what the words mean. So if you don't know what the words mean, for example, power. In three different places in Scripture, in one place, power can mean authority. You go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, power can mean dunamis. And then you go to another place, power means something different. But we just take it all willy-nilly. The power. So, I said all that. Terms and conditions. So we're going to go through each one of those things so we understand. So the first thing, it says, lovers of own self, or lovers of themselves. The Greek word is phalos auto. Phalio, meaning love, autos, meaning self. It literally means lover of self. Now, this is what's going to be really cool. The word's going to preach today for the next couple minutes. This is why I'm excited about today. I'm really not doing too much work. I feel like I'm sweating. I need my rag or something. A lover of self is someone who places their own desires or feelings and interests above all else, lacks concern for others, often lives without submission to God or accountability to truth. Seeking self-fulfillment instead of God's will. Oh, man, I want to go preach at that church. I'll do this one because this one's really funny. And because I know somebody who did this and got in trouble for it. Hopefully they're not watching. Oh, well, I'm just going to call it how it is. I feel like I need to give that person a word. Let me go give that person a word. And they go and give the word and they get rebuked for it. Self-fulfillment instead of God's will. Did God tell you to go give that word? Now, if he did, he did. Okay, I'm just hear me. If you're in this prophetic vein, I've been in the prophetic vein long enough to where everybody is a prophet. Everybody wants to give a prophetic word. It's dark outside. I feel like it's going to rain today. There's a dark cloud right there. It don't take a rocket science to tell you that. Yeah, prophesy. Now, again, I'm not making fun and stuff. God operates in that way. I believe in the prophetic, but that God is a God of order, decently and in order. But a lot of times we do stuff. Here's another one. I'll give you this one. This one's going to hurt. And to be quite honest, I don't care if everybody leaves my church. I don't care. I'm going to do right. When it's all said and done, I'll be in heaven. Wherever you're at, that's where you're at. We had a traumatic thing happen in Kerrville. Everybody, oh no, we got to send money. We got to send food. We got to do this. Where were you before the flood? Okay. Maybe God did tell you. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. If God told you to do it, why are you posting on Facebook? I'm in Kerrville. Wait, let me get my phone. Hey, everybody. I'm just doing a Facebook Live. Hey, hang on. This is what they all do. Oh, I got to wait till everybody gets on. Let me just wait. A few more people. I'm here in Kerrville. Look at all the devastation. Look at all the devastation here. But we're here because God's called us, and we're going to bring the gospel to these hurting people. Man, come on. That's self-fulfillment. If you're going to do, that's why the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you're going to do it, you don't got to post, just go do it. Who cares if somebody knows? There's things me and Tiff done, nobody knows. Now there's things that I've done and, hey guys, I'm in Facebook. Okay. I've done all these, okay, people? I've done them all. There's a time and place, but I'm going to be very vague. I'm not even going to say that. We're going to keep going. Lovers of oneself. So Paul starts off with, watch out, in the last days, you're going to be lovers of self. Next, you're going to have covetous. Yeah, lovers of, that's a good one. Lovers of selfie. Oh, man, I'm not even going to get through what I thought. Okay. Covetous. Covetous, does anybody know what covetous means? It's okay. That's why we're going through this. So we have an understanding of what these words that we spew out all the time. Hey, man, God says don't covet. I mean, we got a general idea, but it's like people just be talking. Christian folk just be talking and not knowing what's going on. It's time to start talking truth. Covetous means having a strong, greedy desire for something that belongs to someone else, especially money, possession, or status. It reflects a discontented heart. Oh, hey, discontentment. That is never satisfied and always craving. The Greek word literally means, you got philios again, love of silver or money. The literal translation means lover of money, money hungry. A covetous person is greedy and driven by materialism. They're never content with what they have. Willing to compromise values to gain more, often associated with idolatry. Never content. I'll use myself. Because God had to break me of this. iPhone 10 comes out. 1 year later, iPhone 11. Got to get the iPhone 11. Not content. Still works. Nah, I got to get that. It has a 2 megapixel better. That's it. 1 gig of RAM more, got it. Oh, it's gonna increase my battery capacity by 2%, gotta have it. I'm being facetious because the upgrades are just all cheesy. The 12 comes out, year later. The 13 comes out, year later, 14 comes out. I finally got a 16 and Lord's like, Josh, come on. And I finally said, I'm just gonna use this until it breaks. My wife is on iPhone 13 Pro Max. I'm like, ew, three generations behind, ew. But covetous people are greedy. Think of Gollum. Yeah, they're precious. He was coveting the ring of power. So the next person, they're a coveted person. I'm going to go through the next couple, and then we're going to finish this. He also warns about boisterous people. It means you're a braggart. I like this. A braggart or an empty pretender. One who makes exaggerated claims. It describes a person who talks big but lacks substance. Here's a good one. You ever went to a job interview? I have. Oh, man. Oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I did this at a job. I was working for a photography. I just left a warehouse position. I did shipping there. And so I went to my interview. Oh, yeah, man, I did shipping. I should have been the shipping manager. Ah, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you're hired. Now I'm the shipping manager. What the heck do I do? Hey, John, I need you to order boxes. I know. I'm gonna order a bazillion boxes because I don't know what I'm doing. And then the owner has to go, hey, why do we got so many boxes in here? Yeah, exaggerate it. It describes a person who talks big, lacks substance. Shunadababakaya. Thus saith the Lord. I quote scripture left and right, but they have no substance. A boaster. Bragging. See those people on social media all the time. Hey, we're just here on our vacation. Look it up. Got my new car. I'm here with my boo. All this stuff. I'll do one more. Ah, man. I really wanted to get to blasphemers is a good one. Okay, let me see if I can finish this up. Proud. The biblical definition of a proud person thinks highly of themselves, often above others, refuses correction or humility. Hey, Lord, I don't think that's how that scripture reads. I know. Hey, Deanne, you're not supposed to put your tire on that way. Yeah, I know. Josh, my tire fell off on I-10. I need help. That's how we do. Sorry, not we. Let me change my vernacular. Refuse correction or humility. God says, hey, guys, that's not how you work. No, God, I got it. And then when we screw up, please help me. Help me. Trust in their own strength instead of God. I'll give you a good example. We were doing Glory in the Park one time. This is big old ice chest. One of those big old white ones, you know, the big ones. I don't care if they're out there. What are they going to do? Big old ice chest. Hey, man, we going to help you out. Nah, man, I got it. Picks it up. Ah! Got a hernia. Trust in their own strength. People were coming, but he had, I got this. Yeah, now you're in pain. I've done it. Don't worry. Guess what? You've done it too. Everybody's like, yeah. I've trusted in my own strength. Oh, God, I need some money. Let me figure this out myself. Won't be smiles on their face anymore. They won't be joking anymore. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's no forgiveness for that one. Last one, I'll end with this. And I hope the young folk are listening. Paul says they're blasphemers. The next one Paul says is disobedient to parents. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If I break this down, children refers to offspring, not just young children. It includes those under parental authority. Obey. The Greek literally means to listen under or to submit attentively. In the Lord, this indicates, in Greek, indicates that this obedience is part of living in relationship with Christ. Right? It means just, proper, or righteous. So Paul is calling children to obey their parents as part of their relationship with the Lord. Yeah, I know what time it is. This obedience is not merely cultural, moral, it's a spiritual right and aligned with God's design. The second part verse of that says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. Honor, it means to value highly, to show respect, to gain weight to someone's role. Promise, this is the first command with the promise, a pledge or assurance of God. You see, what Paul is doing, he's quoting the fifth commandment. To honor goes beyond obedience. It includes attitude, it includes respect, and an ongoing appreciation even into adulthood. You don't get, you're not excused, you don't exempt, you don't expire from honoring your parents. I don't care if you're 99 years old and they're 120. It's still honor. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. If you're a young person and you want to know how to live long, the Bible says, children, obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first command with the promise, that your days may be long in the land. You know why these young people are losing their lives quick? They're disobeying, they're dishonoring their family. They're disobeying and dishonoring their parents. Because if you disobey and dishonor your parents, you think, oh, I'm just dishonoring my parents. No, you're dishonoring God. Because God took those parents and put them over you. So in theory, or not in theory, but literally, you're just saying, you know what? Screw you, God. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That's what you're literally saying. All right, that's it. I got to stop because our time is up. And my body is saying, it's time to go lay. It's time to go sit down. That was a lot today. I hope everybody got that. And we'll finish up with the rest of that. And then probably the following week, we're going to talk about grace. What does grace look like? Common grace. We're going to do, there's about four or so graces that we'll talk about. Let's pray, and then we got to tear down and get out.